Search engines have entered the chat. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. This week brought the opening salvos of a new Battle of the Bots.
It's a new day in search. In fact, a race starts today.
Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella introduced the new and improved Bing, now bolstered by ChatGPT, the AI chatbot the internet can't shut up about. Just a day earlier, Google announced Bard, its own AI chatbot-powered search tool. Chirag Shah is a computer science professor at the University of Washington. He says AI chatbots process language more intuitively than older search models and could transform how people access information.
This is something that researchers in this field for decades have asked for, that it would be great if these systems could process a whole sentence, questions, and more contextualized inquiry. So that's definitely now starting to happen as people get accustomed to entering not just a bunch of keywords, but their full question with a lot of details. I mean, it would take some time. I don't see keyword-based search going away anytime soon, but that would be a big shift in user behavior.
Now let's talk about some of the problems, one of which was made pretty obvious earlier this week when Google circulated some demonstrations of its AI chatbot called Bard, and it made a factual error in at least one of the responses. What does that tell us about the limitations of this technology, especially when we're using it for search?
So this is a danger that these things, while they're very effective 90% of the time, we don't know what are those 10% of the times when it fails. And in most cases, you're not going to have a well-informed user on the other end to be able to question this. The difference here compared to a traditional search engine is if you get some bad or wrong answer, chances are there are other documents, other sites, other sources, you know, giving you a better answer or right answer. Here, you don't have the ability to do that. These things are often hallucinating answers. So they're making up answers that don't exist.
A lot of discussion of some of the misinformation or hallucinations, I guess, as we're calling it when it comes to ChatGPT. But also this week, you know, there's been a lot of commentary about some of the things that ChatGPT is omitting in answers, whether it's because it's sort of been programmed to omit certain things, or, you know, the learning model is magnifying these things, you know, people asking questions about President Trump and the chatbot sort of returning blank answers. I mean, what kind of implications does that have?
Yeah, this is problematic. So they have done this, of course, as guardrails. So ChatGPT, one of the things I would credit them is they've done a really good job putting up the guardrails. Except that these guardrails are pretty shaky. They are pretty superficial. And this stems from the fact that the large language model being used, or ChatGPT, doesn't really understand things. So if you and I are talking, and if we don't want to get into politics, I can carefully deny your request that I don't want to get into that, but you would understand my position. Here, ChatGPT is not doing it out of understanding. It's doing it out of this very superficial programmatic barrier just because they don't want to get into these controversial topics. But then if you think about it, this is a big limitation because so much that goes on around us, they're not black and white. They're not clear cut where you can just give a factual answer. There are possibilities. Now, one good thing with the traditional search engine is instead of saying that this is the answer, it gives you a bunch of different answers. Some of them are contradicting to others, and that's fine. The user then has the ability to go through them, make up their own mind. Whereas here, either it gives you an answer or it doesn't give you an answer. It doesn't have this ability to say, well, here are different factors, here are different, and so-and-so says this, and so-and-so says this other thing. So it's not doing that. And so the solution they've come up with, at least for the short term, is simply not answer it. That's a huge limitation because people come to expect finding at least something. It doesn't happen often that you go to Google or Bing, you search for something and you get absolutely nothing in return.
As an expert who's immersed in AI and search engines, what are you going to be watching as companies compete for dominance in this space?
When it comes to web search, it reaches billions of people. It covers all kinds of languages. People are able to search in their native languages. They're able to translate things. So we're currently only looking at a very small aspect of it. It's a very westernized, very English-driven, very much, you know, targeted to somebody who's kind of information literate. So it has a very small demographic footprint compared to the web search, which reaches much, much broader audience. And so one of the things I'll be looking at is how these things get expanded to accommodate those demographics. So I'll be looking at developments that hopefully look at what users want or, you know, and how to support them in different situations, different contexts, different cultures, different languages, and so on. But that's going to take a while.
What would winning this race look like? And who stands to lose out as things narrow down?
Maybe Google and Microsoft. Neither of them will clearly win or lose. They will just be a duopoly in this market. But there is a good chance for a lot of small players to lose out. Currently, what happens with search engines is people go to search engines, they search for something, and then they're directed to these other websites where they can find their information. But now as Google and Microsoft start giving answers right there on their page, they could potentially cut off all these other places where users could go. So there's a real threat to that layer. And then, of course, users may be losers here because they would start losing the ability to validate things. And I hope the regulators start also looking into the anti-competitive, you know, behavior here, because I think those are real dangers.
Chirag Shah is a computer science professor at the University of Washington. And now for some related links. If you missed the controversy about ChatGPT being politically biased, it seemed to originate with a tweet showing that ChatGPT refused to write a poem about President Donald Trump, but would write a poem about President Joe Biden. The fact-checking site Snopes looked into it and found it to be true, and many users have found similar limitations. As Chirag Shah said, this is likely because of the chatbot's guardrails to prevent it from spewing hateful, offensive, or misinformed statements. And we mentioned that Google's Bard committed a factual error when it was posed the question, "What new discoveries from the James Webb Space Telescope can I tell my 9-year-old about?" Reuters reported Bard mistakenly answered the telescope had taken the first photo of a planet outside our solar system. But NASA confirmed the honor actually goes to the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope in 2004. To be fair, ChatGPT has also been caught making things up. When Washington Post columnist Jeffrey Fowler tested the new version of Bing this week, the chatbot seemed to confuse art and life, concocting a conspiracy theory about the actor Tom Hanks' involvement in the Watergate scandal. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. Rosie Hughes and Daniel Shin produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Amanda Peacher is the interim senior producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.